Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. Now, let's join Pastor Rick for the final part of a message called The Prayer of Release.
Number three. I have to release them because I need forgiveness every day. And the Bible teaches very clearly that we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. You want to be forgiven? The Bible says you need to be forgiving. That's what the Lord's Prayer says. Forgive us our sins as much as we forgive everybody else. Do you really want to pray that? God, I want you to forgive me as much as I forgive them. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. I want you to forgive me as much as I forgive everybody else. You see, forgiveness is a lifestyle. It's not just something you do one time. You need it every day of your life. You got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to accept forgiveness from God, from others, and you've got to offer forgiveness. Forgiveness must be constant, and it must be continual. It must be enjoyed, and it must be employed. You receive it because you mess up a lot and you need it and you enjoy forgiveness, but you've got to employ it too. You've got to give it to other people, constant and continual. One time a person came to John Wesley and said, you know that person? I could never forgive them. And Wesley said, then I hope you never sin. Because the Bible says we will be forgiven as much as we forgive. Don't burn the bridge you've got to cross in order to get into heaven. You need to forgive in order to get forgiveness. It's a two-way street. In fact, in Jesus' story, the king treats the servant exactly the way the servant treats the other guy. In fact, here's what Jesus said. He concludes the story with this. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now, what does it mean? He says, forgive your brother, notice, from the heart, not just from the head, not just in intellectual forgiveness, yeah, I forgive, and emotional forgiveness. You let it go. You forgive him with your heart and your head, emotionally and intellectually. Now, inside your program is a little white card. I want everybody to take this out. Little exercise we're going to do right now. Take out this blank card because I want to help you get release today. Total release from the things that have been bugging you all your life. And what I'm going to do is, nobody's ever going to see this card. Nobody's ever. This is between you and God. It's personal, it's private, and no peeking. Okay? I want you, in just a minute, I want you to write down the people that you have a hard time forgiving. I'm going to ask you to write down the people who you have never let them off the hook, or you keep bringing it back up in your life. And I'm going to, you know, last week I gave you an exercise, a spiritual assessment tool to deal with guilt. And this weekend I'm going to ask you four questions. And if any of these four questions cause somebody to come to mind, I want you to write their name down. Now, nobody's going to see this. I want you to write it down, and I want you to fold it over so nobody can see it. Okay, here are four questions I want you to ask. The first one is what I call the blame test. And the blame test is, who are you most likely to blame for your problems? Who are you most likely to blame for your unhappiness? Well, if they would do this, then I'd be happy. Well, if they would do this, then I wouldn't have so much stress in my life. Okay? Think about that right now. This isn't going to help you unless you actually try to do this exercise, okay? Because I want you to get this off your chest, because I don't want you having heart attacks. I don't want you having those strokes and things like that. Who am I most likely to blame for my stress, my problems, my unhappiness, or my pain? If I had had a different parent, if my dad had just done that, if my girlfriend, if my ex, if my boss, I want you to think about this and try to write down a name. Here's another question you can maybe help you out. Rehearsal test. Who is the first person that comes to mind if I were to ask you what's the greatest hurt in your life? Think about that. I see somebody just sitting there doing nothing, okay? This isn't going to help you, okay? But I forgive you, okay? I forgive you. But I don't want you going to the tortures. I don't want you going to the emotional torture of your own life. And I know for a fact you're holding on to grief, grudges, and guilt. I know it because I've been a pastor for over 30 years and I've talked to 10,000 people, and everybody has a secret hurt, including you. And if you don't admit it, there's a word for you, liar. Everybody has hidden hurts. Unfulfilled expectations. Well, my husband hasn't measured up to what I thought he'd be, or my wife, or whatever. Rehearsal test. Whose comes to mind when I think of my greatest hurt? Here's the third test, scoreboard test. Is there anybody you tend to keep score on? In other words, they did it again. They did it again. And you keep a little score in your mind, so when you get in an argument with them, they said, well, you did this, yeah, but you did that. And you did this, yeah, but you did that. And you did this, yeah, but you did that. And you've got this little score, a little scale in your mind between guilt and blame, and every time they do something, you put it over here on this side so you can blame them to even up for your guilt. And when they say, well, you did this, yeah, but you did that. Did you know that the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs? Guy was talking to his friend and he said, you know, I got home and I had an argument with my wife last night and she just got historical. He said, don't you mean hysterical? He said, no, she told me everything I'd ever done wrong. That's called scoreboarding, okay? Who are you keeping score on? They did it again. And he said, I'll forgive them, but I won't forget it. That's scoreboarding. Okay, and then here's another one, another pest. I want you to write down a name of one, at least one person there. Reminder test. Do you ever find yourself reacting negatively to somebody because they remind you of somebody else? Do you ever find yourself reacting to somebody because they remind you of somebody else? This is one of the number one problems in marriage. Because a lot of times we take unresolved resentment and unresolved hurts and unresolved grudges and we bring them into marriage and we transfer all that energy onto our spouse. That's not fair. Your spouse is not your dad. Your spouse is not your mother. Your spouse is not somebody who hurt you in the past. That's not fair. But when you find somebody that you always react to because they remind you of somebody else, that is a sign you need to do the release. These are the releases. Now, how do I release my hurt? Thinking about whoever you wrote down on this card. Fold that over. Now, I want to show you how to let this person off the hook. Whoever it is or whoever it was. The Bible says that there are three things to do to release your hurt, to find freedom so you can have peace of mind again and not keep being bugged by that person. There are three things. Number one, back of your outline. How do I release my hurt? In other words, what do I do with my anger against this person? Number one, I leave it to God. I leave it to God. What does that mean? I'm saying, okay, God, I'm not going to try to get even. I'm going to let you settle the score. I'm going to let you handle the justice. I'm going to let you do whatever you need to do, and I relinquish my right to get even. I have a right to get even with this person who hurt me, but I'm not going to. And the Bible says this in Romans 12, 19. Never avenge yourselves. Circle this. Leave that to God. Leave that to God, for he has said he will repay those who deserve it. Oh, and by the way, who has a better arsenal to repay, you or God? Who can settle the score better, you or God? Oh, I thank God. If I have to choose whether I'm going to get back or I'll let God be a God of justice, I'm going to let God be a God of justice. And I leave it to God. Now, let me explain what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness does not mean the instant restoration of trust. Not at all. Forgiveness is instant. Trust must be rebuilt over time. Forgiveness is based on grace. Trust is built on works. You earn trust. You don't earn forgiveness. Forgiveness is built on grace. And so the difference is a lot of people don't want to forgive because they think, if I forgive them, I've got to trust them again. No, that's a whole different issue. Let me say it again. Forgiving a person does not mean you have to trust them. That means they have to earn the trust. If a woman is being abused, battered, beaten by her husband, and she kicks him out of the house, which is a good thing at that point. You don't have to put up with abuse. You don't have to put up with that. And she kicks him out of the house and says, get your act together. If he comes back and says, I'm really sorry, will you forgive me? She has to forgive him. It's not optional. She does not have to let him back in the house. Yet. Forgiveness is instant. It's undeserved. And why do we forgive? Not because he deserves it. We forgive because I don't want to carry the hurt. I don't want to carry the torture. I don't want to carry the torment. You forgive not because they deserve it. You forgive for your own sake so you don't carry the pain. So she says, I forgive you. Will you let me back in the house? Nope, that's a different issue. That has to be rebuilt. Forgiveness is not the restoration of trust. Forgiveness is not resuming a relationship with no change. Somebody's in a relationship and their partner or their husband or wife or whoever, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, is dealing with drugs or dealing with alcohol and or whatever. And they mess up and they say, will you forgive me? Yes. Yes, I will forgive you. And now do we go back the way it was? No, that's not at all what we do. Not at all. Forgiveness and a restoration of a relationship are two different things. Forgiveness is only on your part, whether they respond or not, whether they ask for it or not, whether they even recognize they need it or not. You forgive for your sake. Restoration of a relationship takes far more than forgiveness. It takes repentance. It takes restitution, and it takes a rebuilding of trust, and that can take a longer time. They are not the same thing. But a lot of people think, well, I can't forgive them because it would mean I'd have to go back to the same old way. No, not at all. But you leave it to God. How do I release my heart? I leave it to God. Second, I heal it with grace. I heal it with grace. Friends, the only cure for your hurting heart, the only cure to get this person out of the mind, out of controlling you. And by the way, if you're still holding on to resentment, they're controlling you. Have you ever said, you make me so mad? What you're admitting at that point is, you are controlling me. Listen to those words. You make me mad. You have the ability to control my emotions. When you say you make me mad, you are admitting they are controlling you. And the only way you get this person out of your mind and heart and not controlling you anymore is you heal it with grace, God's grace. Hebrews 12:15 says this, be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives you. He says, if God gives you grace and forgiveness, you offer it to others. For if he does, if you fail, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit. And we've all seen people with a bitter spirit, which is bad, not only bad in itself, he says, but it can also poison the life of many others. Have you ever known a family where a bitter mom poisoned the whole family? You ever known a family where a bitter dad poisoned the whole family? Yeah. He said bitterness is contagious. And actually, bitterness can become generational. And somebody has to break the chain, and it better be you. My parents were bitter because their parents were bitter because their parents were bitter, and I'm going to break the chain. And there's only one way to break it. Heal it with grace. Friends, if you don't get God's grace in your life, life will make you bitter. Because I don't know if you figured this out or not, but life isn't fair. It's not. God never said it was fair. The Bible doesn't say it's fair. In fact, life is very unfair. Why? Because sin is in the world. We live on a broken planet. This is not heaven. This is earth. Life is not fair. That's why I believe in heaven and I believe in hell. One day God's going to settle the score. Evil people get away with murder all the time. Go read the book of Ecclesiastes. Talks about life's not fair. And if you don't get grace in your heart, it's going to make you bitter. Now, here's an important question. The person that I wrote on this, is it right for this person to just get off scot-free? Is it right for this person to just get away with murder? They hurt me and they don't have to pay for it? Is it right? What I'm saying is forgiveness fair? And the answer is absolutely not. It is not about fairness. It is not about justice. It's about grace. You don't forgive a person because it's the fair thing to do. You forgive a person because it's the right thing to do, and you don't want your heart full of poison. You don't want your heart holding on to the hurt and the hate. People have said hateful things about me for years. And if I held on to that hurt, and I held on to that hate, and I held on to that resentment, said, well, they said that about me, and they wrote that about me, and they did that, and they did that behind my back, I would be a miserable man. I would be in a self-imposed torture chamber. It is the grace of God that gives you forgiveness. Now, why do we talk about the grace of God? Because you don't deserve God's forgiveness. You don't. You don't deserve for God's forgiveness, but Jesus paid for it with his life. It wasn't fair that you were forgiven. It's not fair that you don't have to pay for your sins. But it's not about fairness. It's about grace. The Bible says this here on the screen. Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross. You've seen crosses all around this auditorium and also outside. Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross. That wasn't fair. He hadn't done anything wrong. Why did he have to die? He did it for us, so that we would stop living for sin and start living for what is right. And you are healed because of his wounds. What Jesus did on the cross has paid for all your sins to heal all the hurts in your heart. Now, friends, forgiveness is free, but it is not cheap. It cost Jesus his life. It cost God his son. And as Jesus was dying on his cross with his arms outstretched and the blood was dripping down, he was saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was saying, I love you, 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 I love you. He was saying, they don't deserve it. They don't even know what they're doing, but Father, forgive them. I leave it to God. I heal it with grace. There's one other thing that I need to do with my hurt, and with that hang up, I need to nail it to the cross. I need to nail it to the cross. I wish I had time to go into a 10-week series right now just on the power of the cross. Everything you need in life is found in the power of the cross. Jesus on the cross broke the chains of sin and death and bondage and addictions and habits and all of the things. And the cross has the power to free you. You say, free me from what? Free you from past guilt. Free you from past grudges, free you from past grief. To free you from your regrets and to free you from your resentment. Nothing else can heal you like that. There's no psychology, there's no theology, there's no pill, there's no therapy, there's no book, there's no self-help seminar. Nothing is going to release you from the hurt in your mind of people who've hurt you and the guilt in your mind from people you've hurt except the cross. It is God's answer to all our needs, and that's why millions of people wear a cross around their neck. It is the symbol of the power to free you from the bondage of bitterness. Notice this verse on the screen. We know that our old life died with Christ on the cross, so that our sinful selves would have no power over us. Notice that. Our sinful selves would have no power over us. What does that mean? It means my natural inclination to do the wrong thing. My natural inclination when you hurt me is to hurt you back. My natural inclination when you say something bad against me is to say something bad against you and hold on to it and never forgive you. And all of the things that I'm naturally inclined to do actually make it worse. We know that our old life died on the cross so that our sinful selves would have no power over us. We can break that bondage to bitterness, that bondage to guilt, that bondage to resentment, that bondage to worry, and we would no longer be slaves to sin, slaves to the past, slaves to hurtful memory. Forgiven. Let me ask you a very important question. How badly do you want to be healed of that hurt? How badly do you want to let it go? Do you want to just keep holding on to it and become a bitter, old, crusty person? It's a little late for some of you. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. How badly do you want to be released from this pain? Are you tired of keeping going on? I've gone over that 1,000 times in my mind or 100,000 times. And every time I think of it again, it still hurts. What my dad did, what my brother did, what my mom did, what my husband did. And every time I think about it, it still hurts. I want us to bow our heads right now. Would you bow your heads? And I want you to think of the name or names that you wrote on this card or should have written. Think of the name or names that you wrote on this card or should have written. And I want you to follow me in this prayer. In fact, I think I want us to pray it aloud together with our heads bowed. Father, only you understand how much I've been hurt. Father, only you understand how much I've been hurt by these people, by these people. I don't want to carry the pain for another second. I don't want to be a bitter person. But I need your grace and the power of the cross to release my hurt and to forgive those who've hurt me. This is the turning point. First, I need to experience your forgiveness. You know all the ways I've hurt others. And I'm so sorry for my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I accept your grace and forgiveness, and I need it daily. Today, I'm turning to you. And I'm choosing to forgive the way you have forgiven me. And every time the memory comes back, I'll forgive them again until the pain is gone. Heal my heart with your grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.
If you just prayed to receive Jesus, congratulations. We would love to send you some free materials to help you along on your spiritual journey. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. Again, here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you, that's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me. Pray for me and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.